Hey, it's Amelia, aka Big Tit.
And I'm Natasha, aka Little Tit.
And together, we're the Graveyard Girls.
Welcome
to today's
Big Tit, Little Tit. Yeah, I'm tired now.
I know, I'm very tired.
Well, this week we sat down to watch another Netflix
documentary.
Yeah, and that was the Times Square killer thing.
It came out a few years ago. Is it 2019 or 2021? I can't remember. Type in the Times Square killer and it'll come up. I'll tag it in one of the posts, either the Instagram post or something.
I will say the one thing I have to say about it, negatively, quite a lot actually. It didn't need to be 3 episodes long.
No. Also, there was a lot of stuff, not that it... It was like when we did our Lisa Lam, the Cecil Cecil, what the fuck you want to call it. There was lots of bits in it that didn't need to be in it. It could have been separate to another documentary.
Yeah, because I did look at the end. The producers are the same people. I think this is them.
It's like they're trying to blend two different things together. Like, I know it was kind of relevant about the whole Times Square, the area, the whole sex scene, porn.
Yeah, but they didn't need to... drill it in.
No, like, it was like when they were talking to that woman whose dad was like the basically porno, ran like porno king. They didn't need to, they could have done a whole documentary on them separately. Yeah, they didn't need to have that in.
That would have been interesting because I was watching it and I was just like, I feel like I'm watching.
Well, I've watched her and I want to say when it came up with him, I was like, I've seen something on this before. I think there is a documentary about him.
Okay.
And I want to say I've seen it.
Because overall, I felt like I was watching more of the history of porno in Times Square rather than the killers.
Yeah, and killer. That was just blended in. Like, it was kind of relevant because it's obviously how he picked up his victims. And it probably aided that. But then also it wasn't very relevant because half of the cases weren't in Times Square.
Yeah, it was two people.
That's the other thing. I didn't get the name because not all of the women were killed in Times Square. Some of them were back.
Some were taken
New Jersey.
Out.
Yeah.
It's literally over the bridge.
So shouldn't they have named it something after him? Mm-hmm. Then.
Yeah, because the first instant, like as soon as you're in, this guy's like, no one knows what happened this many years ago. Like, I had no idea that there was killings in Times Square. But then you go into it.
Yeah.
There's a
I knew about it, but I didn't associate it with Times Square.
Mm.
I knew him. Mm. No, I didn't know him. But I knew of the killer and I knew about the serial killer, but I didn't see him as a Times Square killer.
No. When he came out right at the end when he's talking to one of the victim's biological daughter, he looked like Santa.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh no, this
guy. I can't take him seriously. You're like, he is sinister Santa. Like. Yeah.
Like, I saw him and I was just like, oh no. What is that noise?
A drill.
Okay.
It sounds like a drill.
I think it is a drill. We've got the windows open today because it's hot.
Yeah, it's a bit hot, so... Yeah. Don't want to melt to death.
We've finally got some sunshine in our lives.
I know, it makes a change. We've had shitty weather for ages now. So, yeah, that's the only downside of summer, isn't it? Everyone else is deciding they want to get stuff done. I'm like, fuck everyone else. Can't they be quiet?
Exactly. We're trying to...
Don't they know we're trying to do a podcast?
Exactly. I mean, how dare you?
Okay. But so, yes, I apologise for the background noise, but we'll roll with it.
It might not be too loud. Hopefully.
Yeah, they might not hear anything and then we just sound like mad women.
We are mad women.
I mean, we are a little bit.
So I did take some notes down, but then halfway through, I was just like, there's no point taking notes down because it's mostly about...
I don't remember, yeah.
Well, yeah, one, I watched it last night, and two, I was just like, it's mostly about the sex scene in Times Square. I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
Nothing of the crimes.
No, that's what I felt it lacked. It needed, like with the one we did the week, they needed to focus on one thing rather than trying to blend it all together. Like, fair enough, mention it. It was relevant. Mm-hmm. But, like, you mention it. You don't need to do half the documentary on it.
So, the police sketch that someone came up with...
Looks nothing like the guy.
Looks nothing like the guy. But he also looked like one of the police officers in the documentary now. Now he's older.
He did. Do you feel like he looked like no one, but also everyone? Like, you know, when I looked at a lot of the composite sketches for around these decades, they never look like the person.
No.
But also, like, they don't really look like anyone I know, but they also look so generic.
Mm.
And I think that's why they don't catch them, because without sounding funny, like, you know, if there was something they go, oh, they're really distinctive, but then you look at the sketch and you're like, what's the distinctive bit? Because that just looks like a plain person.
Mustache. Yeah, because did he even have a mustache in that?
No.
No. But then when he shaved his mustache, oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Because wasn't that the thing with one of the things, didn't he try to change his appearance? So yeah. He tried to do it. But that woman was like, I remember.
So in... we'll talk about some of the crimes. So in 1979, there was a fire on the fourth floor of the Travel Inn Hotel in Times Square. Firefighters see bodies on the two twin beds. One attempts CPR, realizes she doesn't have a head or then hands.
Yeah, I was a bit like, that would freak me out a bit.
And then both bodies are the exact same way. Despite the fire, it's the cleanest crime scene they've ever seen.
Yes.
And then it's like, is it staged? And then they see that their clothes are folded up in the bathroom.
But I instantly thought, is it even their clothes? Because
I thought that.
I thought it was going to be late. Like, he brought other clothes, like, preempted, like, you know, to throw off the scent. Yep. Because not if I was a killer.
And
I was planning on taking stuff. I would deliberately plant stuff that's not related to the crime just to throw people off.
Yeah, and then the police dress mannequins up in that outfit. Those clothes. And it's like, how do they know that goes with that?
Well, I wondered if, like, you know, the clothing size inside, did they go to the shops and ask for the mannequins that fit those sizes? The hair bit threw me out because I was like, how can they do a head? They don't even know what colour hair because they haven't got the heads. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So how do they know whether she had blonde hair? And well, in the end, when you look at it, they use like sort of, not ginger, but like a blondy brown. Blonde,
and then one's short.
Yeah, but then when you looked at the women that had been killed, one had, she looked dark brown, almost black hair, so they didn't get that bit right. But again, it's a bit hard to replicate when you don't have a head, so...
I did think some of the victims looked very similar. Especially Dida, who was one of the women who was decapitated.
And the other one was obviously a Jane Doe. Yeah, and then
the one a few years later is Jean Rayner. She looked... that her Dida
there
and...
similarities. Yeah, I was just like,
okay. I think he might have a type. And we wonder what his wife looks like. So
yeah,
maybe...
I did think that.
Maybe he wants to...
Either that or she's like the complete opposite.
Maybe.
Because I found that sometimes with them.
So yeah, Dida, who was one of the victims on the bed, her biological daughter finds out what happens to her when she's 26 because she goes back to the orphanage and they've got like this whole... And I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah, that would be really shitty because you'd be... I mean, I don't know whether it's better. At least they can't... In a weird way, it's good that they did keep it all together because at least she's not going to go fishing with it. Because can you imagine if you've obviously ended up in an orphanage, you've been adopted, you go back as an adult, they say it gives you maybe a photo and your birth name and you're all really excited. You're like, oh, she's so pretty. Then you go into Google and find out she's been decapitated and had her hands chopped off. Whereas at least, as harsh as it was already there in the file. There was no nasty surprises.
Yeah, I mean... I think they handled it the best they could
I'm surprised they kept that much at the orphanage, to be fair.
Yeah. You think maybe they would have handed it over to... it? Was she adopted? This is what I wasn't clear about.
I was under the impression that she was adopted at some point. Like, she ended up in the orphanage and then she was adopted.
That's what I assumed. I would have... Would you hand it over to the adopted parents?
No, I think just when you turn 18 you've got the option to go and get it. Okay. I don't think they just send it to you. I think they keep it all on record and then you have the option because there'll be people that don't want it.
Yeah, but it's also what's
and
best.
Also parents that lied and never told the children they've been adopted. So can you imagine if you got that on your 18th birthday? Instead of, you know how we... Oh wait, no, we don't get it from the Queen now, the Queen's dead. But you know when you're 100 and you get a card from the Queen? I'm presuming the King does it now. I don't know, maybe.
I don't know, we've got to live past him to 100. But I assume that's the tradition that they're going to keep.
Yeah, so then you didn't want it to be like if adopted people when you turn 18, instead of like getting a card from the Queen.
You've been adopted this whole time.
Yeah, here's your file.
You're like, excuse me?
Because I bet there is a lot out there where the families, especially if they've adopted them as babies, I bet they don't tell them that they're adopted. I don't think they legally have to.
You don't have to, but I think it's...
Because it would be hard, especially if you've picked... Like, if the child was, like, already walking and talking, they probably maybe have some memory, so it's a bit hard to keep it from them. But if they've literally adopted them from birth, you're never going to know any different. Because, our parents could have adopted us. We're not going to know, are we?
My dad was adopted. I think... Yeah. I don't know when they told him he was adopted, but, like, have I always known he was adopted? I think I remember learning that he was adopted. I think if you look... do it in a healthy way, it's like, okay, yeah, your mommy and daddy who like made you couldn't look after you, I wanted you, so I adopted you. If you do it in a nice, mature, healthy way, so the child knows that they're loved regardless, I think I think you have to tell them.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, yeah, you're my kid, but you look nothing like me.
Yeah. Well, that's weird, because then there's some in families where they don't look anything alike. Because I always do wonder, you know, when you see people like that, and I think, have they, like, been adopted all this time, and just no one's told them?
And then you're like, ah. It's like, oh, were you who? No, okay. You just you just ruined an entire family.
Yeah. It's like, I swear you look like you've been adopted.
It's like.
Then they go home, ask the mom, and they're like, you've uncovered this. I'm like, in my 40s, and I never knew, and then now you've said something. But no, but there would be families out there that wouldn't say anything.
Of course there would be.
Because especially if, like, if the ones that they've adopted, the parents have died or whatever.
I hope she had...
There's no one coming looking. Yeah.
I hope she had a good life.
She seemed like she did. Like,
she seems well put together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She seemed to have her head screwed on, let's put it that way.
Yeah, she did. I mean, would I... I think she's brave enough to go talk to him.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to.
I don't think I would want to. I think... But she's also, doing it for all the other women that...
She's doing that, but also, is there a curiosity point on her part? Like, because she wouldn't have known anyone that knew her mum. And I know he only knew her because he murdered her. But
yeah,
it's the only person that could say... could physically tell her what she actually was like.
Yeah.
As in, like, what did she look like? What did she sound like? Like, yeah. I know he goes, oh, yes, she had a wonderful scream. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I understand that there's going to be... He actually
physically met her.
Yeah, there's going to be some curiosity there. I understand that. And it's nice that she's, like, trying to find out all the other victims.
Yeah.
Because...
Although I don't really trust...
I don't trust him. No, yeah. I don't trust him. But if he, like, says a name... that, like, he shouldn't really know about.
Yeah. Because, you know, later on, like, I don't know if you want to discuss it right now, but obviously there's a big gap. Like, he doesn't say anything at first for all these years. And then he does start talking. And I feel it's when other major serial killers have started releasing information or started doing documentaries. And I think he's jumped on it. I think he's worried he's going to get forgotten about. So that's why he's decided to reveal the names. I feel like it was for his own agenda.
Of course it was.
And I feel like not all of them he did do. Mm. I think he made some of it up, like, to make it worse. Like, I've killed... Because he claimed, was it 70 or 80 women or something?
Yeah.
I'm not convinced. No. Assaulted that many women, yes. Killed, I'm not convinced. I feel like more of them would have cropped. You feel like those ones in the hotels, it was so bizarre. If there'd been more...
It would be like obvious. That. Yeah. Yeah. Like, the ones that have been left in the hotel, they have been found in the hotel.
Mm.
If they're all been murdered in... hotels, you would find them.
Yeah,
you're not just gonna, like, go into a hotel, smell something, and then not investigate that smell.
Yeah, so I feel like, so I mean, technically you could argue he did the other ones another way, or left them somewhere else, but it doesn't fit in with everything else, so I'm not convinced.
I like the his former co-worker is just like,
oh yeah,
he's a weirdo. Yeah. It's like he was just telling all these adventures he would get up to, and then
but good job he kept that fucking plan of the thing that he drew out.
Also, that's because he's being an arsey cockhole, arsey cockhole, and he's just like thinks he can get away with it, and then revealed his plan.
How we do it? Because you know sometimes when people say stuff and you're like, yeah, well you're just bullshitting.
Yeah,
I think that's how we did it. Like maybe that's what he was going for. Like he was testing the water. He knew he could wind these people up, and they weren't going to believe him. So it was a way for him to. Get it off his chest, but he knew for while these people weren't going to take him seriously. So, in a weird way, like, you can't really blame them for not noticing, because I think, felt like he was the sort of knobhead that bragged about absolutely everything.
I feel like we would know someone like this.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
And you're just like, okay. Yeah, right. Yeah, here he goes again. Because it is something, like, it'd be like, just say, like, when we talk about murdering people and, like, bludgeoning them, this is how you do it. Like, you don't take it seriously, do you? No. And then, like, 20 years down the line, it turns out, like, I murdered 300 people. And they're like, she kind of did tell us all.
I mean, and... it was right there. It's like, it's not your fault you didn't believe me.
I was like, I did tell you. You know, you could have stopped me, but, you know.
Although it's like, I was annoyed that it was, like, focusing all on the Times Square and the sex scene. I am fascinated of, like, how it came to be. Yeah,
and this is why I'm sure it's either another documentary that's mentioned this guy in it, but I've definitely seen more in it. And I was always like, that's quite interesting. Like, it is fascinating how it was him on his own.
Yeah,
he's fascinating as a man. Like, he was obviously an opportunist. Like, he saw, like, this was a great sort of not trade to go into, but
it's like
the timing was perfect.
What his daughter said is like, oh, he pushes and then he got away with that, so he pushed it again, and then he pushed it, and then you've got live sex,
but it takes acts. People like that. Like, I know Yeah, because there was another one. Yeah. You know the guy who did the acts with his wife?
Yeah.
And he was just like, yeah, we did 8 shows a day. And I was like, 8 shows a day?
I was like, to fruition the entire time?
And I was like, are they not going all the way for all of those 8 shows?
That's what I'm,
I'm thinking. I was like, every day is
I
know.
And I was like, how much? And then, but then he was like, men are stupid. And I was like, yes. Yeah. And he was like,
he made me laugh. Like, yeah. There were so many things he said. I was like, I like this guy.
I like this guy. And he's just so like nonchalant about it. But it's like, that's how it should be when it comes to sex. You shouldn't be all like,
there's all people like, in a weird way, like, you can have good sex with them. You know, because it's not serious or awkward. Like, it's, you can, something can happen and you can laugh it off.
But yeah, he also beat the shit out of a man trying to grab his wife in the toilets. Yeah. So I was just like, yeah, good for you.
Yeah, I quite like him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he weirdly doesn't look like the sort of guy that would batter the shit out of you. No. Maybe that's how he got away with it, because he doesn't look like he's going to get you.
But he also doesn't look like he's going to go 8 times a day.
Yeah, no. But yeah, when he just casually came out of it, I was like, oh. And then I was like, I wanted to know what his wife looked like.
Mm.
But I don't know. I think that whole scene is fascinating anyway. Like, I find it really interesting. And I know there's a lot of crime associated, obviously. There's a lot of mob stuff linked with it.
Yeah.
But also, you think for how many people, how they did actually provide them with a livelihood. Because not all of them would have suffered. I know there would have been times where things were maybe a bit inappropriate and uncomfortable. But for some people, if they didn't do that, they probably would have just been homeless on the street. So do you want to look at it in a weird way? Like, I know with a lot of the prostitutes, then when they were owned by other men, yes, that's not ideal. But there would have been a number of those people in some of those clubs that would have actually gained full professional careers out of it.
Yeah. I mean,
so it
some
wasn't
of the,
bad
yeah.
all round.
Yeah, some of the sex workers, they were like, oh yeah, I made this amount of money in one night. It's like, it's better if, like, you own yourself, but then a man's going to come along and be like, I'm going to take care of you. And it's like, you've got to give me some of your profit. I own you now. You can't leave.
Yeah, but I like also that. See it from a perspective as it was a turning point for women in terms of sex work.
It
because
was.
Up until then, it was like, it's still technically kind of frowned upon today, but it's not so frowned upon now as it was before.
Yeah.
And I think because there was so much of it going on, like, they had to bring laws and bring things in, like, it kind of forced it. So in a weird way, he kind of helped everyone out, if that makes sense, in a weird way.
Yeah.
I know bad things happened along the way, but even if he hadn't, these women would have been victimized in some way anyway. So, well, the majority of them would have been. So if you want to look at it that way, by him bringing that to the area, something had to be done about it eventually. So
I think in a way, it not a safe space. It was like, you're all in that community together. Whereas, like, if you're, like, a bit further up the thing, you might not have the same amount of women looking out for you.
Well, you imagine if you just, like, on just a random street corner. That was 10 times more dangerous than, like, I know there would have still been women in the streets on those, but a lot of those in the clubs, they would have wanted to look after them because, effectively, that's their income to the club. So they've got to look after them to a degree.
Mm.
I know there were still bits that happened in between with different pimps and stuff, but to a degree, they're going to look after these women. I bet as well, like, a lot of them, they would have given them food and stuff, you know, when they came in and, like, drinks. So for a lot of these women, I bet it would have been, like, a hot meal, somewhere to go some of the time, and a bit of money.
It is weird that it's, like, it is a mash of all these, like, you've got entertainment, you've got, like, business there, like, professional, like, computer things, like, because that guy went to work
and did was doing that on his
while
you could have done
that
on your break
so it's weird that it was just like everything all in this one place, like, it all just merges. It's so weird.
In my head, I also sort of see it like you would have had offices on one side and then they would have had an entertainment. You know, like when you go to London, like, there's areas where it's all built up and there's a lot of entertainment, and I think once it started to thrive, more of it came, and then it just sort of expanded, but then those other businesses would have already been there. They can't go anywhere, so it just becomes a weird thing. Like, if you go into major cities, there's certain areas in cities that are known for certain things, when you merge it all together, you'll have certain areas where it's just a mishmash altogether. I think it's quite common for a city,
because I have been to New York and Times Square, like, what it is in that compared to now is, like, completely different.
I don't think I cope. I think I feel too claustrophobic.
Oh, it's very busy. I've only been to that area once. Like,
I think I'd find
it
too busy.
Yeah.
Like, it fascinates me, but I also don't think I'd cope in it.
I think you should go Rockefeller at night, so then you can just see the lights from above.
Yeah.
You'd be okay with that.
Like, it does look it. You know when you see it, like, it's so crowded, but then I feel like I'd get, especially as I don't like slow walkers, I feel like it's going to be so packed in that there's going to be people everywhere. Yeah. I don't know, maybe I need to take a big bubble or something, like a big hula hoop.
No, me and you, we'll go...
personal space.
We'll go stay in the financial district, because that's where I stayed the first time.
Oh, is that where you had that big posh hotel?
Yes.
And your own driver?
No, the driver is the other time.
Thought kidnapped you.
I thought he was kidnapping us. He just went down some back alleys, and then he was just like, okay, this isn't the way to the airport. And then he's like, wanted to show us the
sights
of New York lit up in the early morning. But it was scary.
Yeah, because if you were on your own, you definitely would have thought, yeah.
I mean, I got my key ready to like punch him. But yeah. No, in financial district, it's all like working. People are like, they march, so there's no slow walkers down there. So you and I should go there.
Okay, I'll be all right there.
And it's near the bottom, so we can go near the sea.
Oh, okay, all that's all right then. Yeah, like, I hate it in town. You know when there's so many people all together, and you're just like, oh my god, fucking move! Like, and there's one door to run, but then they straggle in the middle, so you can't get round them either side. And I'm like, oh my god, I'm actually going to push you over. But I nearly pushed. I had to go. It was just before Christmas time. I had to go and pick something up. For my sister that she had ordered in. And you know when there was someone really slow going towards the top of the escalators? And I don't like going up and down escalators anyway, but these ones I had to go down, and I absolutely hate going down them with a passion. It makes me feel physically sick. And this person was dawdling before me, and I was like, no, because I like to leave an appropriate gap in between the other ones. And then they were just moving. And I was like, oh my god. And you know, I had a sudden urge when I was at the top of the escalator just to push them down it.
No, we'll go there.
No, that looks nice.
So it's the tip. It's the tip of the island.
Okay.
See, there's like barely anyone.
Okay. That's probably always like taken in the middle of summer at like 4 o'clock in the morning or something.
It is in the morning, but I'm not sure. But like, yeah. It's like...
No, it does fascinate me. Like, I think I'd like to go to some of the places that are there, but I just wouldn't like to be stuck in those big crowds. And I don't think I'd cast, like, because they have like massive bus terminals and things like that. Like, I don't think I'd cope with the sheer amount of people in it.
Wherever I go, it's just like, I try and avoid like the mass.
I just feel too closed in, and I already always have the urge to push people, but like I feel like that'd be next level, and I'd have nowhere to go, so then I just end up feeling physically sick because it's like I just want to like push everyone.
The trick is if you go in like somewhere like New York, I think you go early morning-ish, and then you miss all the like tourists.
Yeah,
because they go a bit later in the afternoon, so go early morning.
Okay. There we go. It's a large amount of people.
Yeah, I remember being, I think it was in a Starbucks. I think it wasn't too far from Times Square. And these people just met up there. And I was just like, how do you know which Starbucks you're meeting at? Because they're like, there's so many.
There's so many.
Because there was literally one across the street.
And it confuses me how they do their streets as well.
To me, it's very easy to work out.
Oh, okay.
Once you're there, it's like, oh, yeah,
I think because it's so different to how we do it. Like... The concept just seems weird to me.
You just need to like make sure you know which way you're going. So then it's either like 42nd or 43rd. Yeah. It just depends which way you're going.
And it's like the crossing systems like just seem really complicated.
Just cross when the light's on. Don't cross in between traffic.
I know that's common sense, but you know when We're you look at it, it that, seems like there's people going like diagonally straight backwards. And I'm like, what?
It confuses me when it counts down. I feel
like I get stuck in between two people and I'm going the wrong way. And I'm just like, I've got to go the wrong way now because I can't turn back.
It confuses me because it has like a countdown. And you're like,
okay,
but am I allowed to go when it's on like three? Because I don't know if I can get across in three.
Oh, is that like
the Yeah.
Okay.
But like walking and you're like, I don't know if I can make it in three.
You're getting ready, you got like rev.
Yeah. Can I go in three? I don't know. But yeah, I think it needed to be two separate documentaries.
Yeah.
One on him and then one on Times Square.
Yeah.
Not Times Square killer because there was like two bodies. Yeah. Three bodies.
Yeah, that was it.
People were taken.
Bodies, two separate crimes. And he probably met a lot of these in Times Square. But yeah, the majority of the cases was in, I'm sure it was New Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey because it's just literally over the river.
Yeah, and not far from his house. No. So it should have been about that. But I'd heard of him as a serial killer before, but I knew his name. Mm. I didn't associate him with Times Square. That's why I got confused, because when you sent it to me, I was like, I looked at the image, I was like, I'm sure I've watched this before. And then I was like, and I did a quick Google of the name, and then I was like, no, I know the guy's name, but I don't remember it being that. And then I was like, I best rewatch it, because I'm not sure. And then in a few minutes, I was like, I'm sure I've watched this. And then when the porno guy came on, I was like, I've definitely seen something with this guy before.
Porno King. It's basically just like Tiger King.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm sure I've seen something of a documentary.
It did say, like, the 70s to the 2000s, there was, like, so many serial killers around. And I was just like, why?
Yeah, it was like the birth of the serial killer, wasn't it?
But why?
Part of me, I think it's where you had the massive shift in, like, DNA and all of your advances in that sense. So I think it helped.
Yeah, but there seemed to be actively more serial killers. Not being caught, just actively killing.
Maybe it's after the 70s, you know, the whole psychedelic drugs.
But then some of them seem too young to be, like, participating in the drugs.
But also, you look at the time, like, you'd obviously had the Depression in the 30s, then we've obviously had multiple wars. Then we've got that sort of era, like, you think those major cities would have been changing completely, so it would have been bringing in a whole demographic. It's like the whole society is changing in that time. So in that shift in society, did it sort of confuse people? You know, like now, like, it's not the same. You know, like after COVID, like now, technically we're like, oh, everything's opened and it's gone back to normal.
I still feel like we're not allowed. Yeah.
So we've changed. Is that the same back then? Obviously not COVID related, but something shifted in society. So like the types of, obviously things like porno, it all took off. Like people were more liberal, like people were more open about stuff. So that changes people. So did it change people's mindsets? So you're getting more of these here because it's easier to travel. You can get on planes now, it's commercialized, it wasn't before. Do you know what I mean? You've got more tubes. That before you maybe had buses, it wasn't a big thing. Now
why does it make you kill just because you don't like being around people?
I think it's the opportunity. It's part of its society exchange. These people probably would have killed before, but they would have been in a smaller town somewhere, probably buried the bodies in the woods. No one would have even fucking discovered them. They would just never have been discovered. These people are now going into a, I suppose you'd call it a concrete jungle, wouldn't you? They're going into these built-up areas. Oh, wait, hang on. There's no ground for me to hide this dead body. I'm going to have to get a bit creative with it. But also, leave them somewhere else. Leave them in hotels. Dump them on the roadsides. You've got that. Then they get a bit of a taste of it. But also, like I said, with you adding all your travel, your commercial, these serial killers can move about. Everything's changing. You look at the difference from the 50s and 60s to the 70s and 80s. It's a massive shift. It's not just a little bit. The whole women are allowed changes.
To do more,
yeah.
And then segregation, yeah.
Yeah, so segregation's changed.
Yeah.
Women can be more liberal. Sex is talked about more.
Yeah.
It's still very taboo, but it's getting better. So you've had things like this with the whole porno scene. That's becomes before, you imagine in the 30s and 40s mentioning watching a porno, it wasn't a thing.
What is that?
Like, there would have been
of course
underground
there would.
Ones
of course there was,
but it wasn't something you would have had in a conversation. Whereas you get to the 70s and 80s and it starts, you look in the shift in music as well, that massively changes in those few years. The whole of society changes in those couple of decades.
It's kind of weird. Like, I do like Band of Brothers because it happens in World War II. I'm not a fan of World War II. Yeah. I think it's very interesting. But yeah, looking at like World War II and then looking at the 50s, there must be like such a shift in everything. It's fascinating.
Yeah,
and like we're not going to experience any of that, I don't think.
Hopefully not.
I mean, COVID might be a massive shift because then all of us are like, we can't go outside.
And that's it. But we've all changed. You think how many people now work from home instead of going into work? Like, before, remote working, like, it was a thing, but not many people did it. Now most workplaces are looking at trying to have people working remotely, so because that reduces things. You're not going to have like buildings, you're not going to pay rent on renting offices and things like that. If you're going to have half your workforce working from home,
it makes a better work-life balance as well.
But we didn't have that before, and if COVID hadn't have happened, we'd probably still be bumbling along in the way like other European countries do it. It's a bit of a, we're a bit of an anomaly, if you like, and it's taken something like COVID, because like I said, we're one of those, we can't cope if it's too hot, too fucking cold. Do you know what I mean? It's taken.
So you're expecting a surge of serial killers in the UK in about
10 years.
10 years. Okay.
No, but do you know what I mean?
No, I get
you
it.
You think those sort of impacts, it's such a major impact on society. Yep. It mentally changes people.
Yeah.
Because what you wouldn't have been able to do before, like you look at kids now, they're so massively different to how we were at school.
We're
and there's only
outside.
A decade between us.
Yeah.
So you think, like, what kids got, they've all got social media. We didn't have social media. Like, it was only in its infancy when we started, because social media only really started being a thing when I got to high school. Yeah. Primary school, it wasn't a thing.
No.
And I didn't really use it because my parents wouldn't let me. We didn't even have a computer at home.
Yeah.
So we didn't do any of that. But now, kids have got phones from the ages of 5 and 6. They're playing all these games. Everything is social media. They're doing Snapchat on the way to school. All of these
things. I know. I see my neighbor's kids and I'm just like, they're constantly glued to their phone. And I'm just like, someone could easily run her over or snatch her because she's constantly looking down. And I'm just like, she gets that from her mum because that's what her mum's like when she walks a dog.
My mum's a teacher, so she's saying about there's lots of arguments at school about kids, things that have happened. But my sister also is a teaching assistant in a high school and she's about to move to a college. All of the dramas are surrounding social media, but everyone's obsessed with social media and mobile phones and what they're doing with this, what are they doing with that, like who posted this, or like someone was like, you know, before, like people could have other friends and like you not know about it. Like my sister said, the massive arguments is when someone's not in their friendship group but they've gone out with someone that's not in the friendship group and they posted about it on Snapchat or something and they go, they didn't tell me they were going out with these other people. You know, before you just wouldn't have even fucking known about it. Or you like, you went to a concert, you had to agree where you were going to meet with someone before you got there. You can't text them while you're there going, oh, I'll meet you by so and so. Because it's like now, you know, when we see stuff, I screenshot it and send it to you. We couldn't have done that when we were teenagers.
It's like when like the Wi-Fi or your data's down, like it becomes obsolete almost. So you're like, you're just a brick. I have no way, like.
Yeah. What do you do? You look, because I look now, like I was quite fortunate. Like when I was a kid, I was always going out and doing stuff. So I don't ever feel like I missed out. Like I can manage without Wi-Fi. Like, I don't feel like I'm really missing out. I think because I was brought up that way, that there's always so many other things to do, I can cope without it.
I don't think kids are allowed to do that now because, like, it seems like there's all dangers outside, but they don't realise that the danger is in their hand.
Yeah.
Because, like...
But that's it. But you imagine now those kids, when they grow, give them another 5 years and adults, they're going to go into adulthood completely different to how we went into adulthood. So their mentality is going to be completely different. You've also got this wave of kids at the moment of... Because they went through COVID, a lot of them, they didn't do exams. So those in their A-level periods, they're struggling because they didn't do any exams. They had, obviously, it was based off their predicted grades. They're going into the workplace with...
Are they going to be the killers?
Not necessarily, but... Do you know what I mean? Like, it's going to be a shift. They have a whole different outlook on things. Like, my sister was saying, a lot of us, these kids, they're very babyish for their age because they had 3 years out of school. And so, they're in their fundamental years. You imagine year 7, 8, and 9 if you didn't have those 3 years at school. And now you've just, you've not had school for 3 years and all of a sudden you're coming straight back in and doing your GCSEs straight away.
Yeah.
Can we wouldn't have coped.
And it's also like, you've seen that TikTok of like that guy holding up a clock and it's not a digital clock, it's the...
Analog?
Yeah, with the hands. The one with the hands, whatever it's called. None of the kids could tell the time.
Yeah.
And it's just like, how can you not tell the time?
Yeah. But it's those little things. One, they've not had the social side, so they've not matured. So they haven't matured in the 3 years. They've then gone back, but they're actually 3 years older.
Yeah.
They haven't made... Because my sister says how all of the ones that she's got at her GCSE levels, they seem like year 6 and 7 to her.
Yeah.
And effectively they are, because they missed 3 years of school. So socially, they haven't matured because they haven't had those interactions. But they're now expected to do much more adult things. And she says
actually these... might get a... weird cultural shift.
Yeah, because she said they're so childish. Like, she's saying this, like, they obviously have to go to interviews for college. She's preparing them now for their exams. She's going, well, someone's going to tell me where to go for this. And she goes, no, you have to do it yourself. And they're like, yeah, but don't the teachers just tell you, like, to go ahead? She goes, no, you have to get yourself in. And they go, and there's another girl, like, they have issues, things like truancy. And, you know, like, in school, they're constantly ringing parents. Like, if you're not here, you're not here. Once you get to college, once you're 18.
Yeah, there's none of that.
There's none of that. And my sister was saying the big thing when she took them for interviews, because they're going to higher level college, obviously there's mature students there. This kid was like that. She went, that kid looks like 40 years old. And I just went, they probably are in their 40s. And this kid couldn't get their head around the fact that when they go to this college, it's not everyone their age.
The same age, yeah.
It's mixed people. That's, it's people scary. That have gone back to school. But they had no concept. They didn't realise that was a thing.
Yeah.
And you think, how did they not understand that?
But if you think about it, they're not going to realise it because what they've known is completely different to the rest of us.
But you imagine how tardous they are. Mm. It's weird because they've got the social media, so they've got access to all of the adult content, yet mentally they've not had the physical social interaction. So it's like sending effectively now like a year 7 kid into college.
Yeah.
They're not going to cope.
No.
So they're so immature. But then you imagine those, they're going to be so many years behind. Let's say they do 2 years at college. Imagine them going into employment.
Well, hopefully they...
do you know what I mean? They're going to almost need babying.
Yeah, but they can't baby. You've got to, like, they've got to grow up. I mean, yeah, it's not...
But you imagine, as an older employer, looking for employees in 2 or 3 years' time, those new wave of people coming in are going to be so charged. You're going to be like, God, they're not capable of doing anything of themselves. But you notice that now. You look at, even when we were at work, you look at some of those younger ones that have come in the last few years.
Annoying as fuck.
They have to be told to do everything all the time. And you're like... Just usually, like, to me, if there's not something done, you know what else needs doing. You just get on with it if you can't find a manager.
Yeah.
They won't have that mentality. They'll just stand there and, like, wait for someone to give them an instruction.
Yeah.
They're still in that school thing of, it's like, I don't need to
I don't need to micromanage you. You should be capable. This isn't school anymore. Right, let's get back into Times Square.
But it is relevant to the whole shift. I think that's why the whole serial killer thing became a thing. Mm. Also, everyone...
Cultural shift.
Where true crime sort of started out and people wanting to report on it. So is it also that as well in the media people wanted? It kind of took off like, ooh, that's just...
I think gory stuff were like, it's a news sensation. So then there's more, it's more open in the thing because,
it's shocking, isn't it? Like a shock value thing. Because you remember all the news things at the time. It was like breaking news and you think you've got all your Charles Manson and all that lot. Everyone was like, what? This isn't a thing. But then like people want to know about it. So
and then it just fuels because... From, I mentioned it before, the following, it used to say it was like, is it 200 active serial killers in America at one time? But it's like, that's a lot of serial killers.
It is, but I don't think there was any less before.
No.
I just think it was easy for them to cover up their crimes.
Mm. But then, like, we're not hearing about the 200 serial killers right now. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, but is that because they're catching them earlier before they become serial killers? Because we've advanced so much in terms of DNA, evidence gathering. Are we catching them once they've killed one or two rather than wait until they've killed 17?
But they've got to kill at least two. Is it at least two to be a serial killer?
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think we're getting that much better at catching criminals. Yeah. Because you look, because that was the other thing in this documentary about how the police departments don't communicate with each other. That, to me, just baffles me. They've already got computers. Why are they not linking up?
I think like because they're like...
If they were still on paper fingerprints, fair enough.
I think because they're like, oh, no, they're not going to travel.
but this is it. And I think that was the naivety. And I think that's why then all of a sudden it came out. Because the whole cultural shift changed. They needed to change that. But now we have that. And we've had all the advances in DNA. Because, you know, before, like, blood stuff, they wouldn't have done that automatically in cases. Whereas now, that's standard for even petty crimes.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we don't see, we've gone back and we don't see as many serial killers as we're able to collect evidence back. We're better at preserving crime scenes. We're able to collect more evidence. We're able to do a broader sort of look. You can get all different types of DNA and I think you're able to catch them quicker. So they might only kill one person or two people before they're caught. It's in a weird way, it's easier to catch them now.
And we say that, but some parents recovered, killed... their like entire family before they got caught.
No, I know there's still things,
I mean someone's gonna get
There will still be some that slip through the net, but these ones before, typically it's very difficult to not leave anything behind now, whereas before you could leave everything behind. You could fucking spit over the whole thing. You could probably shit in the place, but because they didn't have DNA and all that stuff, there was probably a wealth of evidence.
Yeah, because it's
there.
Like that Brian Koberger, who's supposed to have like committed the perfect crime but he got caught, is like, if that was him trying to get away with the perfect crime, he left stuff behind. Even though he was a student of like studying all this, he should be the one who would like collect all the evidence that he left behind, but he didn't. I want to know if like, because they said that someone read in the newspaper that the New Jersey one, and then they were like, oh, is this the one connected to ours? I want to know who that police person was, because then they're like, shit, is this the one connected to ours?
It takes someone like that, but also I imagine in the time, like I imagine there being a lot of police and you trying to convince someone else that these cases are linked, when at the time a serial killer was still a new thing. You imagine one person, like you think before when we're at work and you try to go to a manager or something and they go, yeah, but the others aren't really going to sort it. So like, just don't worry about it, forget about it.
Yep.
I feel like it was the same for them. So for that police officer to be able to convince someone, you needed something pretty substantial.
Isn't that the... I can't remember, in the Zodiac, where they're like, the coding guy is just like, yeah, I think we've got a serial killer on our hands, and they're like, I don't think so.
But that's it. That's because at that point, there's a shift, and they're not used to it, they're not used to the concept, but even the criminals, they're not conscious about leaving saliva and stuff everywhere, because they weren't really catching people that way, so it wasn't something to consider.
Like I said,
not until
DNA
they
wasn't,
start killing people that way, that everyone goes, or actually I best like make sure I don't leave any DNA, use condoms, maybe wear gloves. Do you know what I mean? That's only been a thing in the last 50 years. Someone well, yeah, in the 1930s and 40s, yeah. like even though you could do fingerprints, you weren't really that
well, no, you
concerned
didn't have
about
DNA
leaving semen and all that lot.
No, because DNA wasn't a thing then that you could test.
But exactly. So I think that's where that shift has come from.
But yeah, I think this could have been like two separate
liked it, but yeah, I think it should have been two.
Yeah, because I feel like I remember more of the Times Square than the actual murders.
Yeah.
Even though the murders were like, it was like he raked a knife up and down
their back.
I wonder
if they started off with it, but then they also struggled to get a lot of people to sort of, not necessarily interview, but people to talk about the murders. So they needed to pad it out.
They could have easily done the murders in one episode.
Yeah, I feel like it wouldn't have even been one whole episode.
I think they could have padded it out so it was one episode. Mm.
But I think, especially because the crimes happened so long ago, I don't, not in fact sounding harsh, a lot of these people are dying. So it's quite difficult to get the people to do the interviews. Plus, there's a lot of people, I bet they contact them and they go, no, I don't want anything to do
so
with it.
So they could have just like mentioned like the scene, so it was very obvious of like how he got these women, and then left it at that. Don't keep drilling it in that it was like the sex scene and everything. Because like, I'm very much aware of that, not the
crime. You're distracted.
Yeah.
By that.
Especially because I'm just like, oh, I'm not watching this, but...
Yeah, but no, I've still, like I said, all I think I've remembered more about the guy and his wife having sex eight times a day.
Yeah. Yeah, because I remember, I was just like...
Because I just thinking, I was like, are they going, like, full intercourse? Yeah. Or is, like, some of it, like, maybe just oral? I don't know, in between. Are they going, like, the... And then, because then, I think, no, because people are paying for the shows, and you think you have multiple shows. So I was like, maybe they are going for eight times a day.
Yeah, and then he was like, oh, the...
I suppose you train your body, don't you?
I don't know. I mean, eight times a day.
After a while, you get used to doing that. It becomes normal. Maybe there were sex addicts as well. You don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I was just like, okay. Yeah, when he was like, oh, the regulars are like used to it. And then you've got people who are like newcomers and they're like... It's like they should know what they're expecting. They've gone there for that reason.
At that time, I don't think they did because it was a new thing. Yeah. I think there's a lot of people with a lot of curiosities.
Yeah.
Because that was the whole thing. I think, obviously now when people talk about sex and lots of kinks and stuff, like, there's so many, a lot of them, not that they necessarily didn't exist all those years ago, but people weren't very experimental, let's be honest, because nobody spoke about sex. So people would have stumbled across things
this is also
in the
what,
act.
Yeah, I think this is also what happens to, like, maybe another... a reason why there were so many serial killers because no one was like experimenting or talking about anything, so then they're just like, this seems nice, and then they like see what goes further and further
about
and
a lot
further.
Of these things sexually people probably wouldn't have even heard of them.
That's
then
what I'm saying.
Maybe accidentally end up on one of these shows and they go, oh
yeah,
this is a thing, and then they're like, well, now I kind of want to go and do that, and then it accidentally goes a bit too far, but they get a taste for it by this point.
So and then
you've
I think that's...
literally exposed people to something they wouldn't. Like, now you look on social media, we're exposing children to a whole different range of things that we wouldn't have been exposed to. You know, like, when we see stuff on social media, like, now, like, you know about... There's certain things you've maybe heard of as a child or a teenager, but you weren't really very sure what it was. And now it's plastered all over social media, like, you don't even think about it. And these kids just grow up already knowing what it is. Yet to us, when we were teenagers, unless we were either going to ask someone, be brave enough to ask someone, or go searching for it... which a lot of people couldn't do because we didn't have computers at home, or there was no way you could hide it. You just didn't look. So you just had a curiosity. You're thinking you're going to have to wait till you're an adult and we're with
find
someone
out
and go,
yourself.
Do you want to try this? But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you think we're growing up. It wasn't, whereas now, if you're on social media, you could literally type in.
You
wouldn't have to ask
anyone
else. Yeah, and you wouldn't have to ask anyone. You wouldn't have that secondhand embarrassment of, I'm kind of curious, but I don't actually physically want to have to ask anyone. You can search now in the privacy of your own home, find out what you want to know, and then go, oh, that's what it was.
It's probably, like, a good thing and a bad thing about...
Oh, yeah, there's definitely pros and cons for both. Yeah. But, like, now, it's so readily available. And I think the 70s, in a weird way, was the start of that. Because before, you wouldn't have openly advertised. No. There would have been things like brothels. People knew where they were. But it was, like, back street, not advertised.
Yeah, you need, like...
glitz and glamour.
The password.
Yeah.
It's like, is this the Pluto's Retreat? I was like, that's an interesting name.
Yeah, but this is it. I think a lot of people kind of stumbled. There would have been people that didn't realise what it was and maybe thought it was a show, like, you go see The Lion King.
You're like, oh,
yeah.
Okay. You're like,
and then you get there, you're like, oh.
Is that the elephant?
But then when it started becoming a thing, I feel like that would have been a thing. You know, when everyone like turned 18, or was it 21 in America you have to be before you go drinking?
21.
Would it have been like, that's your birthday present? And aww, you think all the stag dudes, no, because that's where they would have ended up.
Mm.
And it would have been, I imagine, a lot of giggly teenage, we're not really men, they're still boys, aren't they? Wondering in there, like, egging each other on. And that's how these things would have took off. And then you've obviously got the older men, where that's just what they're going in between work. A lot of them, I feel like, as well, probably would have been unmarried. You would have had a mix. You would have been those that can't or wouldn't necessarily... I feel like there was a mixture, because a lot of these men would have had wives where their wives back home are still very, like, sort of...
prim and proper. Yeah. 50s.
You're not going to ask her to try these things. So you go and watch them instead of your own time.
You never know.
I mean, she might be into it. You never know. But I feel like it's not still a conversation you had
or like
with your partner.
That thing lifts up and then there's your wife. Like, okay. And then it goes back out.
What are you doing here?
So what are you doing here? I paid for this.
But you know what I mean? Like, I still feel like couples within their marriage, the majority of couples didn't discuss sexual things. Maybe they stumbled across things in the act. But you weren't openly like sat on the sofa like, oh, like, I heard about this, do you want to give this a go? That wasn't a thing.
I think that's also a problem with, like, in the olden times, people, there was never communication, whereas a good thing now,
yeah, I feel you like can communicate was, like, really what you need. Was,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there was...
Just lay there.
That was it. Like, you'd have a couple of, like, liberal people, but everyone else was like, there was one position. You always did the same. If, like, that's the... Whatever you did the first time...
That's it.
...is what you did the rest of the time. Whereas now you can ask your partner... Like, is this what you went to? Whereas before, like, the whole idea of just even discussing sex with the other person was like, no, you can't do it.
Yeah, see, even, like, we were supposed to be talking about murders. We're just literally talking about the sex. That's, I think that's the problem with the documentary.
It doesn't matter who you are. It fascinates people. Of course it is. I think even asexual people, they have such a strong opinion on it. There'll be something about them that obviously makes them asexual. So they're still curious about the whole sex thing, because whatever it is that's in it makes them know that they definitely... aren't a sexual person. So it doesn't matter who you are, everyone's curious.
Of course they are.
Do you know, but also it's in our nature, because effectively
we're created animals.
To create.
Yes.
So either way, we're going to end up having sex in some form. Mm. I just think we're just much more chilled about it.
I think to watch this, maybe
bear don't in mind, go in expecting it to be a full crime.
Yeah, which I thought it was.
Yeah, it's not a murder documentary. No. It obviously has documents murders.
Yes.
But it's
the overall,
it's not really a true crime documentary. No,
the overall
I don't think
emphasis and everything we came out with is the sex scene in New York.
Yeah,
in
and
the
I 70s. Kind of want more of the I want to say I've seen another documentary about this guy, but I've also watched another one about, I know another guy, he got murdered and he was big on the porn scene, and he got a bit big for his boots, and he ended up being bumping off, and the whole thing was his daughter. So maybe it's just a lot of later on, the daughters of these porn kings are just making documentaries, I don't know.
Maybe, but yeah, I think it needed to be two separate things, because
we're just focusing on the name doesn't seem relevant to it.
Richard Cottingham is the murderer, by the way.
Oh yeah, we should probably mention that at some point. They either needed to not name it that.
Yeah.
And you could maybe get away with merging them together.
Mm.
Or they needed two separate documentaries.
I think two separate documentaries. I think they were just like, this happened in this area. This guy is from a different area.
If they do a documentary on the history of Times Square in the 70s and 80s.
I felt like I've learned a lot.
That would have made sense.
I felt like I've learned a lot. Everything else, I've forgotten about.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, because women were murdered.
Yeah. That's it, but it's like with this Cecil Cecil Hotel.
Mm. Yeah.
It was easy for you to get that someone died.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's all sort of, not brushed under the carpet, but
it's like,
there's so much else going on, and you're like, ooh. And that captures your attention more than the, someone's actually died, this is quite sad. Like, I don't feel like it did the victims any justice.
Because like I said, I forgot, like, I was taking notes, but then part of me felt like, well, there's no point taking notes, because I knew that we wouldn't be talking about the deaths in the end.
Yeah, you're like, this guy had sex 8 times.
Yeah, you're like, excuse
in
me?
Your notes. You know, like, you look back for your notes and you're just like, penis, boobs.
Yeah, sometimes they were blurring the boobs, sometimes they weren't. That's what,
but I think it was the magazines at the time, because when it first started out, they weren't allowed to show nipples. Or even the woman's eyes, like, so you couldn't see her identity.
But even, like, I think the film itself was blurring some things out, because it was the blurry bit, not the tape.
But I wonder if it was old footage, so when it came out, so that's all they had. If you'd gone in, you would have been able to see it. But if they were to, like, you know, put it on a news article...
Yeah, I get it.
Because you look like now, we still have the watershed.
Yeah.
They can't put plaster tits but out it's also, on the morning news.
And one, that like, they weren't blurring her boobs, but they were blurring her vagina area. And I was just like, why?
I don't know. I don't get it. But they do that in a lot of things still.
It's like...
But yeah, there was one where they blurred out just her nipples and her eyes. And I was like, is that so you can't see her full identity? And is it because at that time... it was still frowned upon. It was like in the actual magazine, it was actually printed in. It's not like they blurred it after the fact. Is it because it was to protect her
probably
identity? Because she probably had another job, or maybe she was someone like really high up in, like, I don't know,
corporate.
Yeah. So, and this is just what she did on the side, and then
probably pays well.
That's, I think that's how it was. And then it was during this time that there was a shift, but you would have still had the old dirty magazines in there. It would have been like, you know, when you go back now, you want vintage. Stuff like that would have been the equivalent, because there would have been the old types of films, and then there would have been the new stuff that was emerging at the time. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like once you, when they first opened, you would have gone into those bookshops, and there would have been ones from like still like the 1800s or something.
Oh yeah. And it's just like her showing her ankle,
but that was it. But it's like, this is the vintage collection. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you used to, I mean, we don't really have it now, but you know when we used to have video and DVD stores that you could go and rent, and they had the really old movies? It would have been the same in the pawn shops.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, do you want to look at vintage porn?
A bit curious, because, like,
yeah, because they would look very different. Yeah. Because the way people groom themselves now, although we are making a bit of a comeback going back the other way, I think it's more now people care less, but... I think
it's also like, oh, I can't, like, no.
It's effort for starters.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? Like, we went through a thing of, like, everyone would have just had a full bush.
So do you want to look like a very tall baby?
But that's it. And then people only started doing it because it was more things like when people went to the beach and had a bikini, they didn't want bush sticking out the side.
Yeah.
Whereas before, people weren't wearing skimpy clothing like that, so you could have a full bush, no one really gives a shit. You think, like, Victorian clothing, you can't see shorts above your ankles. So it didn't really matter what was going on in your underwear, because no one was gonna see it in public. Whereas when you start then wearing swimming costumes, people are like, oh yeah, but the whole bush sticking out the side doesn't really look all that attractive, so we'll maybe trim that down. And then people took it to the extreme, and then now you've got a mix where people are just like, you know what, it's a lot of fucking effort to keep that up, so I'm just doing whatever I'm comfortable with.
Yeah, I think there's like a slight mini revolution, because like, so one of the shaving adverts, you kind of see the woman's like got some hairs and a bikini line, which is very interesting, because usually they'll be like, absolutely not, we're not going to show any of that. But now it's kind of like,
but I think they have to go back to it, because ultimately it's natural. I think there's a pressure on them now to show people what they are actually like. Yes. Because you imagine as a child now, I don't know if we should really discuss this thing. I was quite young when I hit puberty. I was very surprised about the whole pubes thing. I didn't really realise that's what happened. I swear they just appeared. Do you know what I mean? I swear, like, one week I had them, and then I didn't have them, and then the next week I did, and I thought, what the fuck? But you know, but you never saw anything in any magazines, or even when I've been to beaches as a child, I didn't see any.
You're just pubes. Like,
so then I was like, what the fuck? Like, where is this? And then it's not. I think we went so much that we were getting rid of everything in the public eye that it wasn't normal. So then I think there would have been teenagers that would have been like, oh my God, where's this hair come from? Like, I'm turning into an animal or something. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's something wrong with me. So now you have to realise that, yes, you can take it off if you want to take it off. Yeah,
we're trying to be healthy in how we are seeing ourselves as human beings.
And it's okay to keep everything natural. If you want to choose to get rid of it, that's your personal choice.
Your choice, exactly. But yeah, I think as the documentary, I think...
Yeah, it's definitely choose everything.
Yeah, but yeah.
Because as everyone can tell from this episode, we've gone down one track with this.
We're going to keep watching some stuff, but then we've got some other ideas coming up. But yeah, for this episode, I think we're done.
Yeah, so in the meantime...
Keep creeping.
And we'll keep digging.